Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 6, day 4 of the study of Hebrews. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Hebrews 9, 11 through 22. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. If you've been blessed by this podcast, I'd like to invite you to sign up for my newsletter over at darrenhibbs.com. I send out semi-regular updates about the content that I create in audio, video, and book form, and I think you'll find it encouraging in your walk with the Lord. With that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us? Speak to us, God. We want to encounter you. We want to know you. Fill us today with your word and with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Hebrews 9, starting in verse 11. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, it is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. So Jesus, when he offered himself as that sacrifice, he came as priest and sacrifice together. But he didn't come through the normal means, is what our author here is saying. He came through that perfect tabernacle, the one in heaven, the one that the tabernacle and the temple on earth were made to mimic. It's a real place. It's a real thing, and it's where Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, that's where they reside. And Jesus came through that and offered himself on earth to cleanse all of the things on earth and to redeem them to this heavenly tabernacle, this heavenly throne room. Continuing on in verse 13, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences and acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. So the people were made clean. They were made right with God through the sacrifices of blood, of bulls and goats, and the ashes sprinkled there. Those things made the people clean in the old covenant, but they had to be repeated every year and on an ongoing basis. So how much greater then is the redemption and the salvation by the blood that was shed by him who was perfect on the inside and the out, from eternity past to eternity future? Jesus, the perfect Son of God, became a man and offered himself as this sacrifice. He had the eternal Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit rested on him and gave him this perfection. He offered himself unblemished. There is no need for any future sacrifice after accepting Jesus. Continuing on in verse 15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So Jesus is this mediator now. And our author here is using a lot of legal language. He's going to go even further into that here in this next passage. He's using this legal language because we're talking about covenants. Covenants is a contract between two parties. And so whenever there's a contract, generally you stipulate who is going to be the mediator if there's a problem, or who is the person who kind of mediates between the two parties, you know, when you're talking about this contract. Most contracts nowadays, you know, they actually specify, well, you know, we don't want you in court because we don't want you clogging up the court, so we want you to hire a mediator, someone who can basically be a private judge to judge between the two parties and help you come to a conclusion. A mediator is the one who is trying to prevent you from going to court, the one who is helping you stay out of court, stay out of trouble whenever there's problems between two parties. That mediator is the one that goes between the courts, the judge, and you and that other party. And so Jesus is that mediator who is going before the Father and saying, listen, I've paid for their sins. They're okay. He's died. He died as this ransom to set us free. And I think it's so amazing that the author says that he died to set us free from the sins committed under the first covenant. See, we are all, whether or not you want to admit it or not, we are all bound by the law, by the statutes put forth in the Old Testament. Now, we can get into some technical nuances of that based on what the decisions that were made in Acts about who has to abide by the customs, Jewish customs and things like that, who doesn't. They made it clear that Gentiles don't, but there's some gray area as far as do Jews still have to do that kind of stuff. But at any rate, you know, things like the Ten Commandments and the very plain and simple things that the Lord has put forth in the Old Testament, we are still bound by them. The Lord laid them out and Jesus said they're eternal. He did not come to do away with any of them. So whether we know them by heart or not, we are bound by them. And because we are bound by them, Paul even says in Romans that, you know, even those who didn't have the law had their, you know, the law was written on their hearts. They did the things that are written in the law without even knowing it. Speaking of Gentiles who didn't know the Jewish law, they did the things that are in the law because that law, it's from the Holy Spirit, it's from God, it's written on our hearts. And we know when we do wrong, even if we've never heard it. And so we're bound by it one way or another. And so every single one of us has failed to live up to the statutes of God's law that he put forth that says, hey, you're right with me if you do these things. None of us, except for Jesus, has ever been able to live up to that standard. And so Jesus' blood that he offered of himself, it has cleansed us from those sins that we committed under the first covenant. Verse 16, in the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when someone has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. So here, our author again is going back into this legal terminology. He's likening the new covenant, the old covenant, to a will. It's something, it's a contract, it's a covenant that couldn't be enforced unless someone is dead. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to die in bloodshed, but the idea here is that the blood is no longer functioning, is the idea. There has been a death, and so that will can't be enacted unless someone's dead. You know, I mean, a traditional will, we have all sorts of other things, living wills and stuff like that nowadays, but the traditional will is you've got to be dead for that thing to be in force. And he's saying in the same way, there can't be forgiveness. This first covenant didn't work unless there was shed blood. Continuing on in verse 19, when Moses had proclaimed every command of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves together with water, scarlet wool, and branches of hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll in all the people. He said, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you to keep. Now keep this in mind that he sprinkled the scroll that he had written everything into, the Ten Commandments and then all the other statutes that the Lord had given him. And he took the blood of the calves and you know, water, and he kind of mixed it all together and made this big batch basically of this kind of like bloody water stuff and took this little branch and, you know, kind of sprinkled it. He'd dip it in there and kind of fire it off Jackson Pollock style, if you will, at the scroll that he had, and then he made everyone pass before him, and he sprinkled them, literally sprinkled every single person with that blood and water mixture so that they were all bound by this blood to this covenant. It was a blood oath, if you will. And so every single person was bound by that, but it was basically enacted as if it was a will. They inherited this, and as such, they didn't have a choice whether or not they wanted it. You know, a will, generally speaking, you know, you don't get to decide what you want or don't want. You know, if you're given something in the will, it's yours. It's now your property. You got to do something. You got to figure out what you're going to do with it. Now, there's people nowadays that will, you know, deal with things and help you if you've inherited a house or whatever. But if someone wills you a house, you don't be like, I don't want it. I don't need that thing. It doesn't really matter because now it's in your name. It's your property and something you have to deal with. And in the same way, you know, this law was now theirs. It was a covenant between them and God, and for every successive generation after that was bound by this law. Verse 21, in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Now, isn't that a very strange idea? That nothing could be used without first being cleansed with blood. Blood is the last thing on planet Earth that I would ever think to clean anything with. Blood is messy. How many of you have ever cut yourself really deeply and you can't get that blood to stop? I was actually at a lunch meeting. This was a terrible time, but I was at a lunch meeting one time and they put bread on the table, but it was a big loaf that you had to slice up yourself with a knife and then spread the butter on it if you wanted to. And I was slicing that bread with a really sharp knife, and I looked up at the last second to join in a conversation, and I just sliced right through my thumb, cut it deep. And I mean, sitting, you know, right there at the table, and I grabbed my thumb and I said, nobody eat that bread. And I ran to the bathroom and I tried to get the blood to stop, and it just kept coming and coming and coming. It was the most bizarre thing, you know, just really silly for it to have happened at lunch. But, you know, my blood on that loaf of bread, if anything, I felt like it's made it unclean. But the Lord says that this is the way that you redeem sin, that you redeem yourself back to God. And in the end, you know, I'm going to be honest. Like, sometimes I'm like, I don't understand exactly how that works, but I'm not the one that gets to decide how it works. He is. And in the end, if we're going to actually be redeemed, we have to believe God that he is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do, that he's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness through his blood. It doesn't really matter if I understand why or how something becomes cleansed with blood. He said that's how he chose it's to be done. And so that's the way it is. And so sometimes these kinds of things, they're above my pay grade. They're above your pay grade. Maybe you're smarter than me, but I guarantee you this decision is still above your head. This is the way the Lord chose that things would be done. And so we either have to say, yes, sir, or it doesn't go well for us. That's where faith and obedience come together. And that allegiance that I've talked about through this book come in, is we pledge our allegiance to Jesus and the way that he's chosen to run this universe, and not the way that would seem right to us. Even if some of these things don't make the most clear sense, and I'm not saying that you suspend all ration and reasoning. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the Lord could have chosen any number of ways that these covenants would have had to have been enacted. And he chose blood. He chose the blood of animals, and then he sent his son as the sacrifice. It's not that any of us had to die. None of us could have died. None of us could have shed our blood to enact this second covenant. He sent his son. Jesus made the decision to offer himself as that blood sacrifice. It was costly. And these animals were sacrificed. It was costly. When, I mean, animals have incredible value. I mean, now, you know, we slaughter them all the time. And I mean, cows, goats, these things, they're expensive, actually. There's a lot of money, a lot of revenue bound up in these things. How much more when it was that much more difficult to raise them? Much more valuable were that they, it was costly, but it was eternally more costly for Jesus to offer himself. And he has cleansed us from all unrighteousness because he shed his, the immeasurable worth of his blood on our behalf. We will never be able to repay that debt. And he will never ask us anything beyond pledging our allegiance to him, putting our faith in him. But that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.